started a couple years ago when there was a particular show that neither Romy or I were going to be able to make, and we turned the show over to Jennifer. What did you do that show on? Pygmy goats or something?
No, it was urban farming.
Urban farming, that's right. And then that led into chickens and pygmy goats.
Yeah.
Yeah. Urban farming. So here we are today talking about something a little bit more domestic. Your pets in, out, and about and around your house. Anything from keeping your dogs more comfortable to your horses more luxuriously embedded. We're here with the owners of OK Corrals. It's Jack and Elizabeth Taylor. They have a toll-free number. It's 855-433-8698 or www.okcorrals.com. So let's talk a little bit more about how you actually got into this business now. Your wife is handing out cash for a corral she once built.
And I saw this going on, and I it intrigued me. I like working with my hands. It involves a lot of engineering. There are things where you actually have to build things that have never been built before. So I went ahead and went to school, welding school, got certified, and I've been building. I can build any. If you can imagine it, I love working with steel.
Now, generally speaking, when you're building these, you're building them and you're spacing what size bar, how often, and what gate. What are we working with here? Are we working with aluminum? Are we working with steel?
Yeah, steel. I use the heaviest steel I can find. Typically, if it's a square tube, it'd be an 11 gauge. If it's round, it would be a schedule 40 or a schedule 60. And also, we use a welded wire, which is, I don't use chain link. I use a welded wire, which is a 4 gauge. That's about the thickness of a number 2 pencil. As far as the tops, I can make it a wire top or a solid top. But our utmost goal is that pet safety. If I lose an animal, it's my word that animal is going to be safe. So that's more than aesthetics, more than anything else. We want to make sure that dog is, or the pet, it could be a cat, who knows, it could be, we built containment systems for everything, like I say, from alpacas to Appaloosas. So my job is to make sure that pet is safe and also comfortable as possible.
Now, before the break, we were talking a little bit about animal access, and we were talking about doggy doors. And I'll tell you that we do a presentation to a lot of homeowner associations and a lot of Rotary clubs and Kiwanis clubs, and one of the topics they're most, that we have about 5 or 6 pre-canned subjects that we can talk about. And one of the ones most often people want to talk about is, what can I do to make my home more secure? And I'll tell you, one of the points I have in that conversation is I really strongly discourage people from installing pet doors.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing we do is that in addition to that locking mechanism on that pet door, I actually build a lid that goes down on top of the kennel, and I put a lock on. A lot of folks like a low profile kennel so it doesn't obstruct their view from their window. So many of my kennels are 36 inches tall, 30 inches tall, which presents a problem about cleaning up after the pet. So what I do is I actually make the lid where it actually can lift up like a door, and so as you close that lid on that kennel, I have a lock that you can actually lock the top of the lid so it doesn't open, and so that is a second deterrent.
Yeah, I guess if you're building a kennel compound 36 inches high, about the only way you can get in there and clean that up is on your hands and knees.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's exactly.
Not good.
No.
Not good.
No, you're right.
Not a good scenario. What are you finding is one of the best materials for the base of your kennels? Or do we pour a concrete slab that we can get in there and hose off real easy? Or what do you like putting in there? What do the animals seem to like the best?
Okay, now what I found over the years, which seems to be the most popular product, is we use the rounded river rock. It's about an inch in diameter. And the reason it's rounded is it doesn't hurt the pet's feet as opposed to pea gravel or cracked gravel, which would be sharp. Your rounded, this comes right here from the Verde River, and so you would actually dig down maybe 5-6 inches deep, take the dirt out inside this concrete curb perimeter. Then we replace it with about 5 inches of this rounded river rock. Then what happens is you can go in after you clean up the solids. After you pick up the solids, then you would just take a hose, and as you spray it, it gets rid of the liquid waste, and the bacteria will actually go through the rock, soak into the ground, leaving a sanitary surface.
Similar to a French drain.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Sounds good.
Now, with the concrete, though, you really don't want to use that for your pets, and the reason is it gets hot. You have to clean it with chemicals, and no matter what you clean it with, you really can't get it sanitary. And plus, it's more expensive for the consumer.
Okay. So about 5 inches of this rounded riverbed gravel.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Rock. Uh-huh.
Now, let me ask you, you don't know what I use, but I dig down and I put the wire so they can't dig out. Mm-hmm. And then I go in there with cedar shavings.
Mm-hmm. Bedding.
About 4 or 5 inches of cedar beddings.
You can get this from any animal feed store, and I've used that before. It really depends on what the customer wants.
Yeah.
Basically, the only thing I probably would advise against would, like you say, be a solid concrete slab, or if you use pea gravel, that's a little sharp and kind of uncomfortable for their feet. But I've used that type of bedding before. It works real well.
We talk about a lot of landscapers like to use a decomposed granite in the yard. And a lot of times I see the kennel just laid right on top of decomposed granite, but that's not a very comfortable surface as well. And again, it's only about an inch and a half, 2 inches thick, so it doesn't create the sanitary condition that the 5 inches of gravel does.
No, exactly. You're absolutely right. You can imagine going outside, walking on that with your bare feet, and you're right. And like I say, it's not thick enough to where there's any drainage involved.
Okay. So you're talking about tube steel welded 4-5 inches apart, keep the animal in safe, and every structure's unique. No matter what you're trying to accomplish in your backyard for whatever pet it is, you meet the client, and where do you start? How do you start designing these things?
Basically, there's no two. I've never built two kennels alike. Every single one of them is completely different. They're all custom built. I've actually built one for a lady that was 10 feet tall, and it was just a little spaniel dog. The reason I built this thing, it was 10 feet tall, was she had a portable jacuzzi in the backyard. She was afraid it was going to break. She wanted to be able to flip it up on its side and roll it out, so I had to build the gate doors were 50 inches wide, and I had to build panels at the top that were removable above the gate, and so she was happy in the end. She was able, you could actually take that jacuzzi, flip it up on its side, and roll it out right through the kennel.
Well, the next homeowner could use it for a llama cage, right?
That's right. Oh, they'd make a great
small giraffe cage, right?
That's right.
Now, what does she do in a homeowner situation like that? The homeowners association.
Oh, a lot of folks live out in the country.
Is a country?
Yeah, she was out on like 5 acres where there was no HOA. However, when we do HOA type situations, we always it's a major concern that we do try to hide the kennel to where it is not in view of any other neighbors, so we always keep it below the fence line. And like I say, in many cases, they like the low-profile kennel so that it's even below the windowsill to where it doesn't obstruct their view.
Now, what have you found in the different communities involving permits? Do you have to draw a little engineered drawing, get permits for these things?
Anything that's under 200 square feet under roof, there's no permit required. A lot of folks want mayor motels and hay barns. What we tell them is if that's the case, if say it's a 50 by 50, we would have to actually go get the permit, or you can build multiple 10 by 20s, which is exactly 200 uh-huh. square feet, as long as they're not touching.
Okay. Now, what are you doing? What have you done to keep animals comfortable in the summer, other than shade? Are you doing any ventilation? Are you doing evap coolers? Are you doing fan motors?
Well, we have done, as far as evap coolers, I have, there a couple of times we've done, let me see, it was over in Gilbert and Ahwatukee. There have been places where we have had evap coolers put in. One actually had a heater for the wintertime. But basically, just like I say, if you get a good old-fashioned shade tree, there ain't nothing like it.
And you have found that most of the animals, if they're somewhat accustomed to being outside at all, can take as warm as it gets without the additional mechanical cooling?
Absolutely. And if the smaller dogs, usually what they'll do is they'll come out and take care of their business and go right back inside. If it's a large dog like a German Shepherd, you have no problems with your predators, so they can stay outside. The larger animals, anything 40 pounds or over, really doesn't need a roof. That's more what we call a dog run, because they can take care of themselves. If you get down to like Chihuahuas and Spaniels, those are pretty tasty snacks for some of our predators. We've got predatory cats, which are territorial. If you see a bobcat in your backyard, that bobcat's not going anywhere. He has a home, or he or she has a home in that area. And I often talk to clients where the cat visits daily.
Yeah.
And will sit on the wall and look at them, and they're not afraid.
Okay.
Hey, I had a question for you guys.
Mike Reesh, our board engineer.
Yeah, I probably should explain who I am rather than just jump on and start talking. I have a neighbor, and his dogs, I don't need an alarm. I wake up to his dogs every morning about 5 o'clock. But I see these two dogs over there, and they are out there all summer. They never get inside, and they put a mister above the dogs. But the mister is about 9 feet in the air, and these dogs are outdoor dogs that are cold weather dogs. And to me, it seems cruel, and at 8 feet, doesn't seem like it would do anything. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely correct about that. They really should. I don't know. It'd probably be too late to incorporate any type of tree, because it would take years for that tree to grow. But they should have some sort of shelter to where they can at least get out of the sun.
Well, yeah. There's two kennels that situate about 6 feet apart with no shade, and there's two piles of gravel from back there, and I think it's cruel in a way, and I usually give them treats or spray water over at them once in a while to cool them off. But
I agree with you 100%.
Okay. The sympathetic neighbor. There you go. The sympathetic neighbor. Hey, when we get back, we'll be wrapping up on the topic of pets here at Rosie on the House with the owner of OK Corrals, Jack and Elizabeth Taylor. Their toll-free number, if something we've talked about has piqued an interest in a compound or a kennel structure that you'd like to talk to them about, the number is 855-433-8698. More when we get back right after this.